Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Poore taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, and also streaming live on Periscope and on YouTube and on Twitch as well at 102.5 The Game. You can watch us all show long each and every day here on those platforms as well. So Robbie and Rex Road is everywhere out there on social media and on the radio as well.
Can't have enough.
Cannot have enough.
Especially if you look at us.
That's right.
Then you really can't have
enough.
Then
you're really in for something if you can look at us while we're doing the show, for sure.
Is Ricky watching, too? You watching, Ricky?
Yeah, Ricky. Let us know on the Twitter.
You get my autograph, man, whenever you want it.
That's right. MTSU women's basketball coach Rick Ensel joins us at 7:30. They're taking on the Lady Falls this weekend. Going to be a great matchup on that front. A lot of fun. Anastasia Hayes taking on her former team there as well. So we'll talk to that a little bit more with Rick Ensel at 7:30. TD, Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock to continue the conversation on the Titans. Crispy dropping by at 8:30. Terry Crisp for the latest on the Nashville Predators. Another big win for the Preds last night in Florida. And then weekend winners coming up at 9:30 as well. So lots to get here today on the show, including, Joe, a lot of talk on the NCAA tournament. The first full day getting underway today here with the NCAA tournament. And the Midwest region is the region, the final region, that we are previewing here on the show. And, of course, Tennessee in that region. We'll get to them here in just a minute. Illinois, the one seed in this region. Houston at number two. Oklahoma State at number four with Cade Cunningham, the best player in the country, leading the pack for them. And then West Virginia, the three seed as well. I'll start on this. It's interesting to me because I think Illinois, everybody's talking about Gonzaga and a lot of people talking about Baylor as well. Illinois, to me, might be, if they're not the first most dangerous team in this tournament, maybe second behind Gonzaga. I really like Illinois and the way they played to close out the season.
Did you say Illinois?
Yeah.
It's Illinois.
Whatever.
Do you say milk?
No, I don't.
Okay, good. Am I hearing that wrong? Are you hearing Illinois?
I thought it sounded a little weird.
Try it again.
Illinois.
Okay. That sounded fine.
That's what I said the whole time.
No, I don't think so.
I think you kind of added an E.
Yeah, thank you,
Porth. Added an E.
Yeah, like Illinois.
Okay.
Thank you, Porth.
Like Eleanor.
I'm not just hearing things.
I'm not listening to Ryan Porth on this. He can't say the word Jaguars.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Jaguars?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So his opinion means nothing to me on this.
Wow. I had no idea.
There you go.
We're really getting to some deep issues here.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Well, look, Illinois is my champ. So,
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and in fact, I was a little surprised because, again, they made us. They asked us to fill out our brackets.
I was forced.
Sunday night, yeah. I went to Illinois as the champion. I went Illinois Gonzaga in the tie game. But yeah, look, I think it's a bad deal if you want to talk about Tennessee being in the region with that one. I think Illinois and Gonzaga, I mean, to me, I think Baylor's very good too. But Baylor or Michigan, those are your preferred one seeds to top your region. But Tennessee's got things to worry about before they even get to close to that anyway.
Yes, they are an 8.5-point favorite today against Oregon State. So, of the 5-12 matchups, now I will say Reese Davis picked Oregon State to beat Tennessee in the matchup. I look at Oregon State and I look at what Tennessee is really good at in terms of how athletic they are. I think if Tennessee, even without John Fulkerson, is on, they should handle Oregon State pretty easily. Now, it's Tennessee, and offensively, they could totally fall apart. We've seen that happen time and time again this year with this group. But I think just based on the talent and the athleticism of the roster, Tennessee should handle Oregon State today.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon State's overall numbers are very bad. They went on a crazy run. We've seen both things here. Sometimes a team will go on something like that, and they'll keep it going. Like Georgetown is another one of those teams. Both of those teams stole bids last week.
Yep.
From Louisville being the tournament. Sorry, Jared. If not for one of them, if one of them had lost, but I usually eye teams like that with suspicion. I mean, their overall numbers are very bad. They do have a big time player in Ethan Thompson, senior. He's a scorer, guard, so he's someone you got to deal with if you're Tennessee. They've been red hot, and I'm assuming there's going to be no John Fulkerson today. I could be surprised by that, but I don't think we'll see him out there. That doesn't help Tennessee. But they should go out and handle business and play like they did for of the 80 minutes of basketball they played in Nashville. I'd say 60 of it for sure was really good.
Yep.
So take that 60 minutes, and if you play like that for 30 of 40 minutes today, I think you'll win by double figures. Did you get all my math on that?
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you.
Got to run the offense through the freshmen, too. Like, Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson, got to be a big part of things today. And to your point, like, Santiago Vescovi, just be ready to shoot. Be ready to jack up some threes when they kick it back out to you. I'm interested to see how the freshmen handle the moment today with Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. Obviously, I mean, those guys, they'll be in the NBA next year. And Keon Johnson especially, he's going to be a high draft pick in the NBA. So this is kind of the moment that you're looking to see what kids like that are made of when the spotlight is shining the brightest and it's a one-and-done tournament that you've got to go win and play well. I'm interested to see how the freshmen can handle that. But based on what I've seen from those two so far, they've got it in them. Keon Johnson, if he plays anything like he did in the first half against Alabama, it's going to be special.
Right. Keon Johnson, avoid the charges, avoid the jumping in the air and trying to make a pass. He's not a three-point shooter, and, you know, that's to me, I think teams don't play off him enough. I would let him shoot from there.
Yeah.
Jaden Springer doesn't shoot enough from out there. He's a mid-40s three-point shooter who prefers to put the ball on the deck and hit mid-range jumpers. If you're good at it, that still counts as 2 points. But when he gets going downhill to the rim, he is tough to stop. It's just, again, you got 19 turnovers against Alabama, and they each had 5 of them. They had 10 of the 19. They also, yes, they're going to be the focal point of the offense, I believe, and they've got to be. But the role players, when you look at this team, like, there's, it's just every role player, if they just do their job and do it well, not extraordinarily, you know, not outside themselves or anything. I mean, this team is, it's one of the most talented teams in the field, and I think it's a team that can win 2 games this weekend for sure and get to that big game against Illinois and have a chance to, you know, to show that you're one of the best teams. They haven't looked like it enough, but I think it's in them.
The Tennessee fan to me is pulling hard for Liberty today against Oklahoma State. The college basketball fan in me is very curious to see what a Tennessee-Oklahoma State matchup could look like.
Yes.
And what Tennessee could do to try to slow down Kay Cunningham. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Could get that in a couple days.
And look, yeah, all due respect to Liberty. We don't want to watch that stuff.
No, we don't.
I want to watch Liberty. I don't want to watch UVA. I'm sorry, John Glenn. I don't want, you know. But, hey, I also thought last night's Michigan State-UCLA game was going to be 52-50, so what do I know? This region also – I've got my big upset. I got two. I told you about Ohio and UVA.
Yep.
Maybe there's a little bit of bias there because I don't want to watch UVA.
Right.
But UVA is, I mean, they've got COVID issues. I mean, there's some things that line up there. But I'm totally going, I just said, you know, conference tournament team, be careful, be wary. Some of them keep going, some of them don't. Morehead State, baby.
Yeah.
Give me Morehead State against West Virginia. Sorry, Huggy Bear.
I've got it in my bracket.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. And I actually have Morehead State, Syracuse as a second round game, Syracuse beating San Diego State. I mean, Boeheim, his teams are certainly capable of stinking at any moment.
Yes.
But that zone in this tournament has blown up many a better team. But, yeah, Morehead State. I'm sure they're not going to be able to continue what they did against Belmont. It was incredible to watch. Like, just
making everything.
Making every shot, yes. Basically, and just making every play correctly on offense. But when I watch a team play like that, I've got to. And, you know, obviously West Virginia, we know how Bob Huggins plays. It's going to be an up-and-down game. They're going to try to force turnovers. I think Morehead State beats that, takes advantage, and pulls off the shocker 14-3.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the NCAA tournament and Tennessee specifically and get to the one Vol who must step up, who no one is talking about. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with some free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day today for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. We here on Robbie and Rex Road have that opportunity coming up for you at 9:45 today with what I'm sure will be an outstanding trivia question from our very own Ryan Porth.
And Vols hoops fans will want to be listening. That's a little tease.
Teasing.
Ooh. Okay.
Ryan Porth, what an expert. Speaking of Vols hoops, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. And today's question is this. What would you consider to be a success for Tennessee's NCAA tournament appearance? The options are one win in the tournament, getting to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, or the Final Four. 128 votes are in. 45% say Sweet 16. 25% say the Elite Eight. 21% say one win. And 9% say the Final Four.
Get those expectations up, Tennessee basketball fans.
People are beaten down by Tennessee athletics as a whole.
Yeah. Well, this is clearly a case, and I asked you before the show, in December, you're probably going to say, yeah, Final Four, like this team's good enough, right?
Yep.
And now it's like, okay, get to the Sweet 16. Now, I understand that. I mean, I understand the program's ever been to the Final Four. So I don't, it's not like you can just be like, hey, another Final Four, let's go.
Right.
But I'd like to see a few more people vote Final Four. Demand excellence.
Would that be your vote? What would you consider to be a success for this Tennessee team in the tournament? Especially given knowing what bracket they're in and
yeah,
getting to the Sweet 16, we think would require beating Cade Cunningham as well.
Yeah, it's probably the Sweet 16.
So clamoring for more votes of the Final Four.
Demand excellence, and I will be happy with mediocrity. Okay,
you're going to pour ice water right on top of all that.
That's right. Do as I say, not as I do.
That's right.
This is my parenting philosophy. I mean, that's the thing is they've been put in a situation now. And actually, again, I said it before the seeding. Like, be a six. You want to be a six.
Yeah.
You know, you can avoid the one all the way to the Elite Eight. But, yeah, you look at the bracket. I can't sit there. If they win two games this weekend, and I do think that I would add, like, play well and competitively against Illinois, which I think they can do. If they give them a good game and lose a good game in the Sweet 16, you can't not call it a success. I still think there'd be a little bit more for this team. And it's just been a weird year with this team.
Yeah.
Because I really did think early, like, this could be special. And we're going to see Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson go high in the draft. And we're going to look back. And if you just went roster top to bottom, because of those two guys largely, there are not many teams in this field that are more talented than Tennessee. I really don't believe there are. It's just this is the hard part about having your most talented players be one-and-done freshmen.
Right. And we've talked about Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer. Obviously, I mean, if this team is going to make any sort of deep run, those are two guys that have to play well, and they have to play well consistently for this team, especially, you know, offensively at times, how inconsistent and limited this team has been. Those two have got to, I think, lead the way offensively for this group. But there are one or two guys that maybe aren't getting as much pub on the Tennessee Volunteers that are going to have to step up as well that you feel very passionate about in this NCAA tournament. If Tennessee is going to have success outside of the two freshmen, who are two maybe under-the-radar candidates that have to step up?
I'm composing a tweet. This is so great. Here's my tweet. There are two players I'd expect to be on the next two Tennessee teams, and they're as important as anyone today, too. Does that make sense? Is that a good tweet? That's not a very – as anyone today for the – help me write the tweet. And they're as important as anyone today for the Vols.
There you go.
Is that better?
There you go.
If I add Vols?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I spelled everything right. Yeah, so I wrote a piece today about those two guys, and they are – okay, Porth, see if you can guess, because I already told you.
I already know. Who are the two players on the Vols that are under the radar?
And they're going to be on the next two teams after this. Yeah. The only two guys that I would say will be on the next two teams.
You're going to have to tell me.
Yeah, Santiago Vescovi and Josiah James. They're both sophomores. This team, it's kind of broken up into pairs. We talk about the freshmen all the time, right?
Yeah.
You got to build the offense around them, all that stuff. You got the seniors. You got Fulkerson and Pons, kind of like, you know, hoping they'll be more vocal. A lot of this is leadership. I think one of the things that's hurt this team the last 2 years, they lost Grant Williams. They lost Admiral Schofield. Those guys were great in every facet, including yelling at somebody if they need it or just being vocal on the court. And Pons and Fulkerson, it's not them. James, but also Vescovi, I think, are those guys for this team. So I think they're already emerging as the leaders. They are going to be, like, next year, you're going to have Kennedy Chandler, and you're going to have those two. And, you know, I think Victor Bailey probably back as a senior. But, I mean, there's sort of a lot of stuff to be determined in the front court and things like that. But right now, I mean, those guys have to be aggressive and hit shots and play great defense and just be really good role players. I mean, I think Josiah James is better than just a quote-unquote role player, even though his numbers, those guys are both like 8-point-a-game players.
Yeah.
But when they play well, and I've said it this week, I'll say it again, Tennessee beats Alabama with Josiah James not in foul trouble. He is, and he is the guy who, to me, will be guarding Cade Cunningham. Now, I know that Pons, maybe he'll get some possessions on him, but that's a Josiah James, to me, absolute matchup. Little bit better laterally than Pons. Pons the best athlete on the floor, but those two guys, to me, if they play well this weekend, Tennessee's going to get out of this weekend.
Wow! Even against Oklahoma State, I like that.
I've got him in my bracket beating Oklahoma State.
Okay, there you go.
I like Oklahoma State. Cade Cunningham's amazing. Yeah,
Port, did you have the Tennessee Oklahoma State matchup in your bracket?
Yes, I did.
Who'd you have winning that one?
Oklahoma State.
Me too.
Me too.
You too? You too. Did you too? You too too? Yeah.
I don't know why I just said me too.
Me too. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys agree. Well, let's just congratulate each other then.
Well, I think after last night, I'm just going to go against everything Rex Road says.
Well, that's actually.
Well, didn't you also guarantee the Arkansas Colgate over?
Yeah.
All right. What's the over? All right.
So that game. Look at it. What's the over under on that?
I think it's like 161.
That'll be the game that ends up being 60-56.
Is it really 161?
I think so.
Ooh, that's high. I mean, I actually would probably still take it, but yeah, after my performance last night, I'd be
smash the under.
What did you think of? We had Josh Ward on the other day from WNML in Knoxville, and said, you know, Eve Pons right now maybe playing like a guy who found out he wasn't the defensive player of the year. What do you think of that? And do you think we all know how gifted he is, how athletic he is, and how defensively he can just take over games at times? Do you think maybe there's a little added motivation there for Eve Pons and not winning the defensive player of the year?
Maybe that was the case. It also could have been that Florida forgot he exists and just said, hey, I'll keep going to the rim and throwing up soft layups. You know, I mean,
just kept swatting him.
At some point, I'm looking at Florida like, hey, guys, pull up. You know, yeah. Do something different. But no, he was incredible in that game. And maybe that's part of it. He's an eraser. And this is why, you know, it's like if Tennessee can be decent, I mean, just solid with their half-court offense. Move the ball side to side. Don't turn it over. Get shots up. If you do that, I think their defense is going to be absolutely ready to lock in today and against Oklahoma State. And, again, I'm with you. Just as a basketball fan, that defense, that team defense against the number one pick is very enticing. Would love to see it. But, yeah, Pons, and then on the offensive side, it's not like there's going to be some switch flipped and he's going to change, but I'll forever want him as he moves forward too. Like, you can bully anyone and you can go get to the rim, and you need to try to do that more often.
I don't understand it. That's been something I've tried to figure out all season with him. Like, when he wants to, he can be unstoppable getting to the basket. And why that doesn't happen more often, I think, has been one of the biggest mysteries of this team all season long.
Right, and like in the post, he's good at carving out space for himself. He makes a nice target for an entry pass. but every single, it always ends in a fadeaway jump shot.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, now, you know, you don't want to get a charge, but there are times when here and there he'll go dunk on someone. You're like, dude.
Do that a little bit more, man.
And look, he hit a huge three against Alabama. So here and there, if he has a nice, clean, top-of-the-key look, fine. But if I'm scouting Tennessee as an opposing coach, I'm like, if that dude's in the corner, let him shoot all the threes he wants to shoot. Yeah. I don't care. We've got to give up something. Just let that guy. He's a 25% shooter from three. Let him shoot. You know, but defensively, he's going to probably do some things in this tournament that get replayed a lot.
I would say
so. You got to enjoy him. He's the best athlete on the floor. I think in every game from here, he'll be the best athlete on the floor.
Even with Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, just as a pure athlete.
Yeah.
Now, Cade Cunningham is a little bit maybe taller and is the number one pick. Yeah. Yves Pons is not the number one pick.
No.
Better basketball player, but yeah, athlete. Pretty hard to top him.
It's pretty hard to top him, that's for sure. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the college basketball front and switch gears to the women's tournament. MTSU and Rick Ensel taking on the Tennessee Volunteers in the first round of the tournament. He'll join us next to talk about that and more. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And the NCAA Women's Tournament getting underway this weekend as well. And a big matchup for MTSU taking on the Lady Vols this weekend, Sunday at 1 o'clock. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in MTSU Women's Basketball Coach Rick Ensel. Rick, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Well, thank y'all. Everything's going good. Just can't wait to get to Sunday.
Absolutely. And Rick, about that, I know the game being nationally televised on ABC as well. Just how cool is that? How big of an opportunity is that, not only for you and your program, but for women's college basketball as a whole?
Well, it's big for Middle Tennessee State, and it helps us with recruiting. You know, anytime that we can get on national TV and show our brand and grow our brand, then it's not going to do anything but help us. That's what we're excited about. You know, we're not an unknown in the women's basketball world. You know, we're not a Connecticut, and we're not maybe a South Carolina, but people know that we play the game, and you know, we recruit with those guys, and we get some and we lose some, but it can't do anything but help us and help our university and help our community, and we're pretty excited about it, to be honest.
Well, Rick, Anastasia Hayes, 26.5 points a game. I know she was leading the nation for a lot of this season, has just been obviously a tremendous player for you since transferring from Tennessee. How have you seen her grow since she came into Middle Tennessee? And how emotional do you think will this be for her to be playing the Lady Vols on Sunday?
Well, it could be, to be honest with you. But right now, as we all do, we mature as we get older. And, you know, when Annie signed with Tennessee, she was right out of high school. And, you know, that's been a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And, you know, she's matured. She's right now, she does more about coming down the floor instead of just sprinting down the floor and trying to get the ball up against the glass. She's reading the defenses, and she's grown on the floor, and she's also grown off the floor. So we're very proud of where she's at right now and what she's doing. She's got a tremendous future ahead of her. She's just an amazing, amazing, gifted young lady, and we're very proud to have her there at Middle Tennessee.
Rick, what's it been like for you and your staff and your team navigating through this season and getting to this point of the NCAA tournament? Obviously, with COVID and everything happening in the world this year, it's been a year unlike any other. What's it been like from your vantage point trying to navigate through that?
Well, as you know, I've been in this business for about 46 years, and I've never experienced anything like it. You feel for your players. It's tough. I mean, it's really, really tough to all the protocols that you have to go through. You know, just like in the last 2 weeks, they probably have taken probably 12 or 13 COVID tests. And then you can't be around, you know, going to college is an experience. You go there even though you're on scholarship to play basketball, you know, that was the most exciting days of my life, and I can still remember those back 50 years ago. And you know, you come in now as a freshman, and you're told you can't get out of your room, you can't get around other people, you got to be tested, you know, your classes, which you, when you go to class, that's where you meet people and experience the college life, and you, most of everything's on virtual. It's been tough. I mean, really, you don't know from day to day who's going to be at practice or who's going to be in isolation or who's going to be quarantined. It's just it's a tough situation. You get on the road. You eat most of your meals on the bus or in the bus while you're traveling to and from, or in the plane while you're traveling to and from. And then when you get to where you're at and you got to play, then you can't get out of your room. Just like we've been locked up here at in San Antonio now. We've been locked up for 2 days. We didn't see anybody. We didn't even see our teammates. We didn't get to come out of our room. So it's a very, very trying situation. But it's something that we've all had to go through as Americans and, you know, people all over the world. So it's just one of those things. If you got to sacrifice a little, and these young ladies have really, really done well this year for us.
So, Rick, I know you had a great long relationship with the late, great Pat Summitt. You coached Kelly Jolly at the time, Kelly Harper now, Tennessee's coach, and AAU ball, correct? And I heard, like, she actually stayed at your house some and things like that. Like, you had a very close relationship with her. What about those two relationships? How, I guess, tell us about them, and also what does that mean to you as you head into an opportunity like this?
Well, I'm very proud of what Kelly's done. And, you know, she did. She played at Sparta, White County. And, of course, they, through that era of time, they had one of the best programs in the state of Tennessee, along with Shelbyville. We played her team and our team all played against each other all the way through the region tournament and then into the state tournament. And then in the summer times, her dad was a good friend of mine, Ken Jolly, and you know, there's not a whole lot of hotels in Shelbyville at that time. And so in order for them to play, Paige Redmond, which started for Vanderbilt as their point guard, and Kelly Jolly, which started for Tennessee as their point guard, Paige being from Bradley County, and her dad, Frank, brought her up, and Kelly, her dad, Ken, brought her up to Shelbyville, and they stayed at my house through the AAU, through the weekends, maybe two or three weekends during the AAU period, which was around March and April. So we all got to know each other. We had a successful AAU career and travel team career all together, and then we would leave there and go to our respective high schools and do our thing. And then she went to, when Pat recruited her to Tennessee, you know, I was ecstatic about that, because Pat and me were close friends. Kelly's a winner. It's always been a winner. And look what she did when she came to Tennessee. And then she, you know, wanting to go into coaching. Did that surprise me? No, because her dad was a coach. And did I think that she would be a great college coach? Absolutely. And she's done a great job. I thought Philip Fulmer made the right pick when he picked Kelly to come back home and lead the Lady Vols. She's probably as close of an individual to Pat Summitt as all of her players out there, probably, because, you know, she wasn't an All-American in college, but she was right there at the heels of Pat, learning everything that what was going on in the game, during the game, and then she ran her program, ran her teams for us. So, you know, I'm not surprised at all. And when she's not playing the Lady Raiders, I'm for her. But when she's Sunday, I won't be for her. I promise you that.
MTSU women's basketball coach Rick Insel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Rick, with that in mind, what do you think specifically of the matchup for y'all taking on Tennessee on Sunday, and how exciting is this for you and your program?
Well, we feel pretty good. We've had a couple of practices, and we feel pretty good about where we're at right now. Now, they're big, and, you know, their offensive rebounding bothers me. They're so big at the blocks. They're 6'5", and six, maybe 6'6", 6'5". They've got two outstanding guards on the perimeter that we've got to deal with. And, you know, if we can deal with those and keep them off the glass, I think we're in great shape. We shoot the ball and push the ball as much as they do. And, I'm pretty happy with the with my kids.
Now you did you mentioned the other day, Rick, scheduling Tennessee. I'm big believer in men's women's basketball. You know, Tennessee should schedule as many in-state schools as possible. Vanderbilt too. Is this something that is going to be able to be arranged moving forward? You playing Tennessee on a regular basis?
Well, I hope so. I don't really know who Kelly's got doing her scheduling. Matt, my son, does ours, and we play anybody. I mean, if they've got a good basketball team, we want to play them. You can't. I've always been of the philosophy: you can't get better unless you play people better than you. And so, you know, the door's open from our end. Now, I don't know about theirs. You know, I'm sure that Kelly's got to wrap her arms around her program right now. She's only been there a couple of years, and we've gone through this one COVID year. So, you know, you don't really know what's going on with the other program or with the other situation. So, in our case, yes, we're very interested, and we'll always remain open. We don't care. As long as our main thing is our fan base, we want to bring good basketball teams into Murphy Center to play the Lady Raiders and to reward our fan base.
MTSU women's basketball coach Rick Ensel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Rick, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck this weekend against the Lady Vols.
Well, thank you two guys. We appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick Ensel, MTSU women's basketball coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. That was awesome. I'm looking forward to this game, and the fact that it's MTSU and the Lady Vols, getting that local angle to it, I'll be watching on Sunday at 1 o'clock.
And you can't have—I mean, you can't have better storylines.
No,
you know, I mean, Anastasia Hayes, incredible talent. It's so cool to see her doing what she's doing with Metal Tennessee.
Yeah,
and obviously, just, you know, the fact that he coached Kelly Harper, he was close to Pat Summit, and I do hope on that last point there, whoever does that scheduling for Tennessee,
get that figured out.
Look, college basketball in this state is incredible. And it's better if the Power Five programs say, you know what, we're going to play everybody we can play in the state.
How about that game being on ABC, too?
I know.
That's not just on ESPN or the Deuce. That's on ABC.
ABC, 1 o'clock Sunday.
Good stuff.
It is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It can be with the Titans and free agency, the Predators. Everything is on the table. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, we'll take them on Periscope and on YouTube and on Twitch as well, streaming live at 102.5 The Game. So with that in mind, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday. And Ryan Porth has had his called shots predicted for the last few days. We'll get to his here in just a few seconds. But Joe, as we look back at Call Your Shot Friday from last week, what stood out to you? How did we do in Call Your Shot Friday last week? I'm looking at my list. Some hits, some misses last week. Probably a better week than I've had in a long time.
Well, let's go to mine real quick.
Okay.
Arkansas will win the SEC tournament. Ole Miss will beat LSU and sneak into the field. Titans will keep Corey Davis at about 10 million a year. 0-3. Robbie, see, I'm not just a sunshine blower. We're willing to rip ourselves here. But, Robbie, sure, you did pretty well. You had Alabama winning the SEC tournament. You had LSU winning by 3 points or less against Ole Miss. They won by more, but they won.
They won by three.
Oh, did they win by three?
Yeah.
Ooh, I apologize.
Yeah. So that's 2-for-2 right there.
You got Jeremy Davies getting his first NHL point Saturday.
That did not happen.
And by this time, today, by today, the Preds will have made a trade.
That also didn't happen. 2-for-4.
So I gotta hurry because Porth has 19 shots. Illinois winning the Big Ten tournament, very good.
Ding ding ding.
Arkansas SEC tournament, like me. Whoops. No. UNC ACC tournament, no. Janu, Jayon, and Corey gone, and you were right, except that Jayon couldn't get the deal, and he's back.
Carl Lawson, I got that wrong.
Carl Lawson free agent signing, no. Richard Higgins free agent signing, no. Preds 5 goals in 2 games?
He got that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Good job. So,
also,
Robbie did quite well.
No, you
Ryan,
must
not very well.
Go back terrible. To the previous week, too, because there was a called shot that I made. Not that I'm quite celebrating this one, but there was a called shot that I made 2 weeks ago that came true this week.
So what was it?
With the Vaccaro cut?
That Ralph Kruger for the Buffalo Sabres was going to be the next NHL coach that got fired.
And he was.
Oh, well done. There you go.
Nice job, Ryan Porth.
I'm trying to keep up with all these shots. You got so many shots.
It's hard to write down.
Well, you keep a record of
them. Spraying them all over
the place. Well, this is the week, though. We get to find out if bringing Jeffrey along at the NCAA tournament helps the Vols make a deep run. This is when it starts, today. Jeffrey is there. He's in the bubble.
Jeffrey. Forgot about Jeffrey. I left
how
Jeffrey
could you behind. How can you forget Jeffrey?
That's right. Ryan Porth, with that in mind,
yes, sir.
As you do every week, kick us off here on Call Your Shot Friday.
All right, let's start with the National Hockey League. You know, if you recall, earlier in the season when the Preds played the Stars, I called a shot that the Preds and Stars were going to get in a fight, and that did not happen. They are going to get in a fight Sunday night, the Preds and the Stars, okay. And someone is going to pick the fight with Jason Dickinson of the Stars because he's the one who knocked out Roman Josi, who hasn't played since the start of the road trip.
Probably a good call.
So someone is going to drop the gloves with Dickinson.
I vote Matthew Olivier.
It's a pretty good vote right there. Yeah. Looking at the trade deadline, I know a couple weeks ago we all made predictions on Matthias Ekholm. I will get the ball rolling on Mikael Granlund and say that he ends up on Long Island, that he's going to the Islanders.
I like that.
The college basketball tournament, a combined 4, 11, and 12 seeds are going to win in round 1, and 2 will make it to the Sweet 16.
So 4, either 11 or 12 seeds will win in round 1.
UCLA, Syracuse, Santa Barbara, Winthrop.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. You're let me just make sure I write all this down.
All right, you keep typing on your
UCSB.
Your portable keyboard there.
Yeah.
The T works.
UCLA, Syracuse, UCSB, Winthrop.
Okay. A lot of faith in Winthrop out there.
And then 2 of those teams will make it to the Sweet 16.
Okay.
Upsets.
Which ones?
UCLA and UCSB.
Are you referring to UCLA as UCLA?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Upset special, Ohio upsets Virginia.
All right.
That is my upset special for the bracket. And then a special shot just for Joe Rexrode. Taysom Hill starts week 1 for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah! All right.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
Let's all remember this.
Got that Taysom Hill fever. All righty. Ryan Porth, prepared as always for Call Your Shot Friday here on the program. Joe Rexrode, your called shots for the week.
See, I kind of tipped my hand, but that's okay. I'm still going to keep it as a called shot.
Yeah, just keep doing
it. But hold on, let me look at my bracket because I'm going to be consistent with my bracket here.
Yeah, can't deviate.
Yeah, you know, now that I look at my bracket, I'm not as double digit heavy in the later rounds as I should be. But anyway, okay. First of all, the Titans. Is this a shot? Will not sign another big free agent. It's kind of weak.
Is it any free agent at all, or just another?
That's kind of vague.
That's kind of vague. They will sign. They will sign 2 more players, but at low cost. They're not going to sign anything close to another big ticket player.
Okay.
Okay. But I've got 2 more players that will be signed.
Okay.
I got Morehead State and Ohio scoring the Shockers this weekend over West Virginia and Virginia. Sorry to my former home state, Virginia, but you're going down to the Bobcats, and I'm totally on the OVC shocking champion Morehead State. I've got Anastasia Hayes will score 30 Sunday, but the Lady Vols will survive a single-digit game. I think it'll be close. And they'll put it away and win about by about 7 or 8, but the Lady Raiders are gonna battle in this one. It's a fascinating matchup. And 1 double digit seed will be alive in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
And that is Syracuse.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going with the Boeheim zone. Half the time it works out for them, and half the time it's just complete.
Big J,
they're not good. Boeheim
supporter.
They're not good.
No.
But that zone is a problem a lot of times this time of year.
I will quickly roll through mine. Mikhail Granlund will end up on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think he ends up in Toronto. I think there's a lot of smoke there. I think it makes a lot of sense. And he would be a guy that comes in and helps immediately. So I think Granlund helps.
I was on
Toronto.
I was on board with Toronto before the Anders Lee injury for the Islanders.
Yeah. It makes sense. We'll see what happens there. I say Anastasia Hayes goes for 30 or more against the Lady Vols coming up on Sunday. A revenge game for Anastasia Hayes. Now, it's not going to be enough. I think Tennessee gets it done, and they win the game. But I think Anastasia Hayes has a big game. And I also am a big fan of Morehead State. They get to the Sweet 16.
Whoa.
Morehead State will be a representative in the Sweet 16.
I mean, y'all are just like copying each other on these called shots.
Yeah. Well, would that be would that make Belmont fans feel better or worse?
Probably worse.
I mean, you could say, well, lost to a Sweet 16 team. But, yeah, you also could say, nah, could have been us.
We're a better, better team than better, all year long.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's tough. But, yeah, Sweet 16. They'll beat Syracuse in the second round. Upset of West Virginia, which, by the way, I think they're 13-point dogs against West Virginia. They get the win today. They beat Syracuse in the second round. There you go. It's my called shots.
I like it.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dwight texts in and says, Tennessee will be out this weekend in the NCAA tournament. Little note that he's a Kentucky fan, so no hatred there whatsoever.
No, you're not biased.
Dwight, hate-watching Tennessee Vols, says they'll be out this weekend in the NCAA tournament. Kelton on our text line says, called shot, Ellie Tolvanen will lead the team in goals by the end of the season. So Kelton's saying that Ellie Tolvanen is going to put some goals together, and by season's end, he will surpass Philip Forsberg for the team-leading goals. Maybe Cal Yarncroke.
Was it a power play last night where Tolvanen just kept just winding up and firing, and it looked like he was about to score?
Yeah.
And Bobrovsky was like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe he didn't score there.
That's where we've gotten to. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's a good called shot, you know?
That's where we've gotten to with Ellie Tolvanen. And that's a you're exactly right. Like, that is going out there, taking a leap of faith, and saying, this is what I think is going to happen the rest of the year, Ellie Tolvanen leading the team and scoring.
Who was that? That's also not crazy.
That was Kelton. No, yeah.
It's not crazy, but it's a shot. Remind us if you get it right, Kelton.
That's
right. We may forget.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, based on yesterday's performance, I'm going to go opposite of Joe on all of his college basketball shots. So Joe, you've really let the people down. They're upset with you today.
Well,
the
they
program.
Should be. I mean, I said a game was going to be 52-50 that turned out 86-80. But actually, don't forget, it went to overtime. I think it was 52-50 or 50-all, 52-50 at the end of regulation.
Yes, yeah. And then it went into overtime.
And then it was like a third. Like, they just went nuts in overtime. They were exhausted. If you didn't stay up to watch the game, believe me. That was terrible. I have no excuse for myself.
I feel worse about my Ohio called shot now because Joe went with that. And I feel worse about picking Illinois to win the national title and putting some coin on it because Joe agrees with it.
So now we've gone from Joe Rexroad, college basketball expert, to now he doesn't know a thing about college basketball.
All because of one over-under.
Yeah.
Well, but hey, that's what this tournament is, right?
Yeah.
This tournament turns me into an idiot every year, and I love it. I still love you, NCAA tournament.
When we come back, we'll get back into the Tennessee Titans. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, will join us. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.